Behind the Scenes, number 17.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
This is Behind the Scenes, an inside look at what it takes to put together a podcast and make it work. Check it out.
Hey, this is Craig Patchett with Behind the Scenes. Don't know if you can hear it, but I've got the air conditioner going in the background here. It is a beautiful day in San Diego, which I know some people will say, you know, that goes without saying, but actually June is known as June gloom in San Diego because we often have really overcast and gloomy weather, but today is not one of those days. There is not a cloud in the sky, and it is well into the 70s and just a beautiful day. And so it's the perfect day to talk about podcasting. And in particular, what I wanted to talk about is I wanted to talk about guerrilla podcasting. If you've heard the show over the last few days, you know that I've switched to a guerrilla podcasting format from the studio format. And what that means is that instead of sitting down in front of an expensive mic and an expensive vocal processor and recording into my iMac, I am using a $15 headset mic, the Plantronics .audio 70, and I'm recording directly into an iRiver. I'm using the IFP 795, but you could just as easily be using an IFP, I think the 760 is the 128K version, or excuse me, 128 meg version, which is currently selling somewhere down around the $50 to $60 range. So for $75, you can have a podcast recording setup. You don't need a computer to record. You do need a computer to transfer the files out of the iRiver and up onto the internet, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. And you're all set to record a podcast. And I call it the guerrilla podcasting setup because it is the basic go anywhere, record anywhere without a huge investment introduction to podcasting that you need. And it allows you to do decent quality podcasts that are very listenable. And with just a little bit of planning and a few techniques that I'm going to teach you in this podcast, you can create a show that is, let's say, 90% as good as the best produced shows out there. And obviously, it's not going to be 90% of the sound quality, but if you focus on the content and use the sound techniques that I'm going to teach you, the difference in sound quality between your show and the best produced shows out there is going to be, in my estimation, irrelevant. It's going to be something that when people first start listening to you, they're going to think to themselves, okay, this is not a professionally produced show, but it's certainly something that I can listen to. And as long as you deliver in terms of content, they're going to forget about the difference within the first, 30 seconds to a couple of minutes and not care about it. So that's the premise of guerrilla podcasting. And just a reminder, podcasting started out as, although podcasting is a delivery method for audio shows and eventually for video and other forms of media, it did start out as a format for people, for anyone to put together a show and deliver it, and therefore bypass the restrictions that traditional media, radio especially, placed on people who wanted to put together a show. And so I wanted to go back to that format. And it seems as though podcasting has been heading somewhat in a direction that makes it seem, once again, that you need to have a lot of expensive equipment and know-how in order to do it. And I wanted to bring it back down to a level where you know, yes, if you have the money and you have the time to invest into building up the equipment and building up the know-how to put into creating a more professional show, I think that's great. In fact, if you go and you listen to some of the shows that I do on godcast.org, then you'll hear that I do that. I have the equipment at home, I've put the time into learning it, and I do have shows that sound more professional from an audio standpoint. But at the same time, with a lot less equipment and a lot less money invested, I'm also able to put out shows that sound almost as good as far as a show that delivers content and is listenable. And I think that's important to understand and to realize from the standpoint of those people that want to put out shows but don't have the ability to invest time or money. So what this show is going to talk about today is how do you go about using a $15 headset mic, and how do you go about recording in a way that maximizes a minimal amount of equipment. And there are techniques that are important to use when doing that. First of all, let's talk about the mic. A headset mic is probably your best bet when you are recording with inexpensive equipment. And the reason is that it keeps the mic a set distance away from your mouth. And this is important because one of the things that you can't do if you are not processing your sound through a post-edit production process is control the level of your volume. And the level of your volume is going to be dependent on the proximity of your mic to your mouth, and it's going to be dependent on the level of your voice. And so the two things that you have control over in terms of controlling your levels are how close the mic is to your mouth, which you can completely control with a headset, and then also the evenness of the tone of your voice. And that's something that you can learn to control as you're speaking. The second advantage to a headset mic, or at least a good headset mic, is that you can position the mic relative to your mouth. And this is really important because if the mic is positioned incorrectly, what you're going to get is something like this. Let me just move the mic away from the position that I have it in. So what you're going to get is you're going to get a lot of stuff that sounds like this while you're talking, and it's going to be terrible for the listener, and you really don't want a lot of popping and you know, things like this. I'm sure you've heard, let me just get the mic back into position here, and we'll talk about what that position is. You really don't want that kind of quality, and as you listen to shows and you hear that kind of quality, you may think to yourself, okay, well, this person is limited by their mic. I wish they'd get a better mic so that kind of quality could go away. Well, I've heard shows that have expensive mics where they have the same problem. So it's obviously not an issue with the mic. What it is it's an issue with the placement of the mic. When you speak, if you hold your hand in front of your, an inch or so in front of your mouth, you will feel, as you speak, you will feel air coming out of your mouth, especially when you speak certain syllables, such as P's or T's. And that air, when it hits the mic, it's called a plosive. That air, when it hits the mic, is going to make that, you know, t-t-t or p-p-p sound that you hear as a sharp increase in volume on the mic that sounds very unpleasant when the mic isn't positioned properly. There are several ways to get rid of this. If you are using a headset mic, it's just a matter of positioning the mic in the best position to avoid it. And what I do, and this is done after a great deal of experimentation with, I think, literally putting the mic in every position possible, is I have it pulled all the way back to the corner of my mouth, and then raised up slightly above my mouth, and then turned down so that it's pointing back down towards my mouth. Now, this position has reduced the plosives to almost zero, and at the same time has not sacrificed too much in the quality of the sound. of my voice. And so, again, the mic is all the way back towards the corner of my mouth. So the first thing I did is slide the boom of the mic on the headset back so the mic is even with the corner of my mouth, then swivel it up slightly, and then turn the microphone itself down so that it's pointing back down towards my mouth. Now, depending on what kind of headset you have, you may not have a microphone that's that easily adjustable. And so, you know, you may not have the flexibility to make that many adjustments. The most important thing is to have the mic either slightly above or slightly below your mouth. If you can bring it back to the corner of your mouth, if you can't swivel it up and down, bring it back towards the corner of your mouth. If you can't bring it back and forwards, then swivel it down is usually best, because bringing it up is going to result in breathing sounds from your nose. You'll pick up the sound of yourself breathing in and out from your nose. So that's the key to mic placement. And again, as you're doing it, and you'll hear as I'm speaking, you'll hear every now and then, you'll hear, you know, a slight plosive. And sometimes it's because I just haven't adjusted the mic perfectly, and sometimes it's because I'll speak out of the side of one, you know, one side of my mouth and hit the mic rather than speaking out the front of my mouth. So there's a little bit of technique in how you use your voice as well. What was I saying right there, for example? And I'm going to just actually lift my mic up a little bit. I didn't quite put it back where I wanted to when I readjusted it. So that's the secret to mic position. If you are not using a headset mic, if you're using a handheld or a desktop mic, your best bet, to be perfectly honest, is to either hold the mic, and this may not be a realistic option because the mic may be very susceptible to noise from being touched, or to position it in such a way, either through a mic stand or some kind of holder, so that the mic is up slightly above and off to one side from your mouth. Do not leave it sitting on the desktop. If the mic is up slightly above, pointed down towards your mouth, and slightly off to one side, you're going to get the best voice quality, just as you would with the headset being positioned the same way. And then you can make sure that you keep your head positioned in relatively the same position as you're talking. You need to be aware of the position of the mic as you're speaking, and try and keep yourself relatively stationary in respect to the distance you are from your mic. You can move around in a, you know, in a circle relative to it, but you want to keep that same relative distance, because the closer you get to the mic, the louder you're going to be, and the further away you are, the quieter you're going to be. And you can use that to your advantage. If you need to get particularly loud during a passage, if you have the kind of podcast where you're going to be yelling or you're going to be whispering, it's actually going to be to your advantage to have a external mic rather than a headset. And you can use proximity to the mic to change your recording level. But typically, you're going to want to stay relatively close. And that's the other thing, too. My headset mic at the moment is probably about 1.5 inches to 2 inches away from my mouth. And in general, you want to keep your mic close. The further away you go from the mic, the more it's going to pick up room noise as well as your voice, and the less professional it's going to sound. It's kind of like the equivalent of videotaping somebody with a video camera. If you videotape them far away versus videotaping them close up, the resulting movie that you have looks great, but the sound quality is terrible, and it doesn't sound anything like what you would see if you were watching a movie on the screen or on TV, because in that case they have a mic that's being held close to the actor, and so the sound that they're picking up is a lot more professional. So that's about all I have to say on mic technique. How are we doing on time? As far as recording, if you're using an iRiver or if you're using another recording device, what you want to do is you want to do a level check prior to recording. Now, the iRiver does not allow you to adjust recording level or monitor recording level once you start recording, and it's probably the biggest limitation of the iRiver. However, you can set the recording level and monitor it prior to recording. And so what you want to do is you want to go in and go to that setting and start talking as loud as you think you will go within your podcast, and raise the recording level, listening for distortion on your headphones. Once you start to hear distortion, then back down again with your recording level until you are definitely not distorting anymore. And then you may want to go down just a notch or two below that. And then set that as your recording level. If you have a computer, then it might also benefit you to record a segment at one recording level, record a segment at a few notches higher, and so forth, and then go in and look at the waveform in your computer at the various levels. You might want to just do a format saying, "Hi, this is me recording at, you know, recording level 35, and blah, 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 blah. Hi, this is me recording at recording level 40, blah, 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 blah." Go in and with your wave editor and look at the volume levels, and then determine which is the best compromise between your level, overall level, that you want to end up with without having the sound clipping. And that is going to give you your best overall sound. You want to record at a high enough level that you don't have to boost the sound later, or if you are even able to boost the sound later, depending on, like I said, whether or not you have access to a computer and whether or not you want to do any post production on your podcast. And at the same time, not clip. And one of the things about the iPod, the iRiver, or any recording device that's relatively inexpensive, is it's not going to have compression or auto-limiting. And that means that the entire range of volume that is in your voice is going to be recorded. And if you happen to have soft and loud passages, then those are going to get recorded in the full range of volume between them. And typically what happens when you record voice is you are going to run it through a compressor filter. And what the compressor filter does is it's literally going to do what it sounds like. It's going to compress the louder passages so that they are closer in volume to the softer passages, and you have less of a dramatic range in volume. And or you're going to run it through a limiter, and the limiter makes sure that you don't exceed a certain volume level so that you get distortion. And if you're trying to avoid essentially, if you can, you want to run your podcast through at least a compressor, just to even out the volume level, especially if you're not used to keeping your voice at a relatively consistent volume level. But if that's not an option to you, then you want to make sure that you have enough what they call headroom in your recording level so that when you do go up a little bit louder, you're not going to distort and you're not going to clip. And that's the goal with setting your recording level. So now we've got our mic placement set, we've got our recording level set, and that takes care of the technical side of setting up for doing the podcast. And in the next show, we're going to talk about how to prepare for actually recording the show in such a way that you can get away with a minimal amount of post-editing, or ideally no need to do any post-editing at all, which is my goal with these guerrilla podcasts here. It's not as easy as it sounds, as you'll find out when you first start trying to podcast, but it can definitely be done. And when you are able to accomplish it, I think that it creates a more natural flow, and you end up having what comes across to your listener as a more natural conversation with them. The trick is to be able to do that and stay focused and tight on your content at the same time. So until then, this is Craig Patchett. Hope you have a great day, great week, however long it is until I get the next one out, maybe even tomorrow. Until then, God bless.